We gather together as we live, people of God, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we join in the service of confession printed in the bulletin. We gather around our baptism in the name of the God who surrounds us, the God who walks with us, the God who blows through us. Amen. The Sun of Righteousness shall rise with shining beams of healing light. Let us gather together under the wings of God's mercy. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your loving kindness. In your great mercy, wash away our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Do not remove us from your presence. Do not take your spirit away. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us with your spirit. God is merciful and gracious, granting forgiveness through Jesus Christ. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Forgive us those things that weigh on our conscience. Give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn. Please be seated. We continue with the readings.
First lesson is from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak for the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." Word of God, word of life. Let's read Psalm 138 responsively. "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything.
On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Compassionate God, you look with favor upon the lowly. Keep us safe in the midst of trouble. Make known your love in our words and deeds, and bring us to new life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The second lesson is from Colossians chapter 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as you are able as we prepare for the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 11. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I have a cough drop in my mouth and a sniffle in my nose. After a couple of good days, my little bit of allergy that's been plaguing me for a long time is back. I'm not sure what's causing it. I know when I get into it, it happens all at once. I saw Vesper earlier this week, and I walked out of her house, and she has jasmine growing there, and that's certainly a part of it. There's just a lot of things blooming, so bear with me. It's much better than it's been. It just makes me cranky sometimes, because I'm supposed to not deal with that stuff. It just, the struggles of being human. This gospel reading is fun. I heard some chuckles out there. We do get a glimpse into Jesus' sense of humor. Which of you, if your child asks for a piece of fish, will give them a snake? You know, it's kind of a dry, impatient humor. How about if they want an egg, give them a scorpion?
Yeah.
That's going to work real well, isn't it? So we get a little glimpse into that, a little glimpse. It's kind of gets our attention. When Alyssa wants to get my attention about something, she'll say one word. Soup. And it works. And I have her permission to tell you this story. It's the story of the couple of days when we went from being very, very good friends to being a couple. We'd known each other quite a while. We went to continuing ed things together. We had meals together. When her big pickup was in its dying days, we searched together for a new pickup for her to pull her horse trailer around. I'd go help feed her horses when she had bronchitis and all of that, and we were very good friends. Then came this time when she was getting ready to move to Klatskanai, and I was interviewing with two congregations way up in the northwest corner of Montana that were independent congregations, both of which needed a pastor, but both of which had some healing work to do before they would be ready to call because they'd gone through some trauma. And we had some very good conversations about the possibility of those two contracting together for an intentional healing interim term of 2 or 3 years. And that's what I was working on right then. And we were kind of wondering how often we'd see each other. Cell phones are great, but you know, continuing ed once a year somewhere, if we were interested in the same event, it just wouldn't quite be the same. And then came the week when she came out here to look things over and see if it was really going to work. She drove out here, had some things to do along the way. Her old dog was traveling with her. We had for a while then too, we had this big, very, very old yellow lab. We couldn't leave it at her mother's farm with the other dog. Geraldine, our Australian Shepherd, backs Grandma's two Chesapeakes into a corner and lays down the law and everything works fine. The old lab would just lay down and the Chesapeakes would try to eat her. They'd just bite her and fight and she wouldn't fight back. So she traveled out there and back with Alyssa. It was about a week, 10 days, something like that. It was frustrating because during that time I found out that those two congregations would not be able to find a way to work together. So that possibility that I was looking at evaporated all at once. It was so difficult. A lot of her time traveling was going through the mountains on the way out and on the way back and a couple stops. Cell phones when you're driving through the Rocky Mountains are not helpful. You get about 15 seconds. Oh good, it's working. It's dead again. And it was frustrating. She called on her way across North Dakota and said, well, I'm going to get to Moorhead where I lived about 11 o'clock at night, but I think I'm just going to go on up north and stay there because in the house that I rented, we were there overnight and my dog now has fleas. And I said, what's the problem with fleas? Really? I said, come on, I got supper cooking. We can come and eat and the dog will be fine and fleas aren't gonna survive that long. And so 10, 11 o'clock at night, I see her pull up outside on the curb and lift the old dog out of the truck because the old dog couldn't get in and out of the truck by herself anymore. And the dog was sniffing around on the ground looking for the perfect place. And I came walking out and dear old Dandy, the dog, saw me and got so excited to see someone after all that traveling that she actually recognized. She got so excited, wagged her tail so hard she tipped herself over. She was not a real stable dog anymore. And Alyssa and I walked up to my house and suddenly are standing looking at each other and neither one of us had any words. It's like, because so much had happened to both of us that week and it was kind of the moment of realizing that whatever else was going on in the world, we could not be hundreds of miles apart. And how were we going to deal with that in the middle of moving? And all these things became real at once, standing there in the dark in front of my house in Moorhead. It's like, and all I could think of to say was, I pointed at the house and I said, soup, because I had soup cooking. And that one word will stop me cold still. Soup, that means, yeah. Okay, time to think about things. It was wonderful. It provided later conversation that day and the next provided direction for our lives, and it's been wonderful. The disciples want some kind of direction. Teach us to pray, they said. John the Baptist, taught his disciples how to pray. You got to guess at a lot of what's going on here because there isn't any information to base it on. But apparently John's students, John's disciples, would pray together in a certain way. Jesus' disciples wanted something like that. It builds relationship. It builds community. We say the Lord's Prayer here every Sunday. This is Luke's version of the roots of that prayer. My kids, when they were little and they say their bedtime prayers at night, suddenly said, Dad, we got to say the church prayer. I said, what's the church prayer? Our Father in heaven. Oh, okay. So we always would say the church prayer. It's a prayer that binds us together. We speak to the God who, for the sake of 10, would not destroy an entire metropolitan area. 10 righteous, he'd forgive them all. The other way to look at that, too, is that for the sake of God, the presence of 10 people in a huge metropolis is enough with God to change the world. Got to remember that piece, too. So we pray together. Teach us, they say, like John taught his disciples. They wanted to know God was there, God would hear them. And Jesus gives them a simple outline for praying. Acknowledge God's holiness. God is God, we are not. God is God. Hallowed be your name. Respect and live in the gift of forgiveness and share it. Forgive us our sins. And I'm sure the disciples squirmed a little when Jesus said this. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves have forgiven everyone indebted to us already. A little prophetic nudge going on there, I think. Save us in the time of trial. Protection from persecution, hatred, being put to the edge for the sake of one's faith. And then daily bread. What we need. What we need to survive. What we need to be who we are. In the Small Catechism, Martin Luther says, daily bread is everything we need in life. Everything we need in life. Maybe not everything we want. Maybe things we don't want. But what we need. Food, clothing, home, family, income, good government, good weather, peace, health, community, connections. That's our daily bread. It is more than just soup. It's more than just bread on a table. It is what we need. I've shared this story a little bit before. I was working summers hauling road oil from refineries to road construction sites. One spring, the company I was with had a new big contract, not in Minnesota where I lived, way out in Montana where they hadn't worked before. They needed drivers badly who would go. I grew up driving in Montana. Grew up farm trucks all over those skinny little roads. I was excited. I put my name on the list, and they said, you're going. And I said, wonderful. Found someone to drive my car out there and leave it in Montana. All my belongings went out. All my belongings went out there one way or another. All I had is my little travel bag that went with me on the trucks. And I got down there on a Friday. We were supposed to head out from the terminal on Sunday. And the dispatcher said, we got a little problem. The owner of the company just got back yesterday from driving the route out there, and he said, nobody's going out there that hasn't been with this company at least 5 years. Those roads are terrible. It's the roads I learned to drive on. Yeah, they're not very wide. We'll be taking a horse trailer across them next week. That's nervous. Alyssa always drives the trailer. She's driven her horse trailer for years. So I follow along, and she's a good, steady driver, but there's not any extra road out there. Suddenly, I wasn't going to Montana. Not only that, there wasn't any work in Minnesota because there's just a shortage of jobs that year. There were other people who, rather than go to Montana, had already claimed spots on the Minnesota driving teams because they didn't want to go west. All my stuff was already out there. I took a bus, lived in Montana that summer. Found work where I could, doing different things for my daily bread, keep some money in the bank, keep the car payment paid, the insurance up to date, gas in the tank, keep myself going. It was a strange summer. And then one day they called and they said, we got new jobs going, we need all the drivers we get, can you be here Sunday night? Head out Monday. I said, yep, got back there. I worked 2 days and was laid off again. That's when I became a bakery driver. I took daily bread all over the place. Every night I was out with my semi filling up route trucks. Daily bread. We need those things that keep us alive. Our work, our relationships, income, groceries, survival, bread, soup, all of that stuff. But it gets more complicated because we don't just get our comfort zones affirmed. Part of what we need is to be challenged in our faith. This morning in the middle of the sermon, I suddenly remembered a good illustration. I was sitting at a little restaurant in a tiny little farming community with a parishioner one morning. This is out in northwest corner of South Dakota. We'd had a little more moisture than average. Cafe was right on the edge of town. Across the road was what to me looked like a beautiful alfalfa field. It was this rich, deep green, almost blue color. It looked wonderful, thick and going. And I said to Merle, I said, isn't that a beautiful field? And he looked over, he goes, no. I said, how come? He said, you only see alfalfa look like that when the conditions have been too good. It's growing well now, but it has no roots. 3 days without rain and it'll be dead or dying. And he was right. It had no roots. It had nothing. It had not been stressed, was his language, to put down roots. Part of our daily bread is to be challenged in our faith. To live it, so that we get some roots, so that we can count on it, so when the wind blows, we're not uprooted. That little parable Jesus has about the seed that's thrown hither and yon all over the place, so we don't blow away or dry up, to be rooted. Daily bread certainly contains our ordinary daily blessings, but more. Little parable Jesus says, the guy's got a problem. It's the middle of the night, and he has guests show up at his house. He is mandated by community and particularly religious expectations to feed them when they get there. They're travelers. They've been crossing the desert. Trouble is, 7-Eleven is closed, and he didn't get his grocery shopping done that day. So he goes to his best friend's house in the middle of the night and says, Mo, one of my good friends, Mo, I need some bread. The guy looks out the window and says, go away. My kids are in bed. I'm in bed. The doors are locked. But, Jesus said, even if not for being his friend, because of his, and the word that's translated there is persistence, he will come and give him bread. Persistence, the Greek word there for persistence is a little different than ours. Excuse me. We tend to read that and says, well, if you pester God long enough, God will give up and give you what you need, which isn't what it intends to say. We just, one of those things where we don't have the same word in English that they have in Greek. The persistence there has to do with a compelling urgency and vulnerability. Some say it should be better translated shamelessness. That doesn't quite work either. There isn't a word that works. But the situation in this could be this way. The guy looking out the window saying, no, I'm not going to let you in, looks out and recognizes the need he has, his friend has. It is a compelling need. It is urgent. His friend comes to him because he trusts him. He's vulnerable. He's got guests. He has to feed him. He's got nothing. Mo, will you please do this? And Mo, looking out the window, says, you know, that could be me. That could be me. And because of that sense of vulnerable urgency, that compelling need, Jesus says, he'll give them the bread. Not just because they're friends, but because he sees the need. Some of our daily bread comes in looking out at the world and saying, that could be me. When we see need, hurt, pain, that could be me. Friday, I was out sorting through boxes in the garages for the third time, stirring up dust, trying to figure out why I've been hauling some of this stuff around with me for years, sorting, throwing, and packing. It's nice from about 7 in the morning till about noon, and then that sun starts getting hot. And what I do is I get my pickup parked somewhere near the garage in this apartment complex, and I carry things out on the back of that and sort them out, and I've got tubs underneath so I can sort things where they go. The dumpster's back behind me. I keep filling that thing up. It gets hot. I have this big steel Stanley half-gallon thermos. I put a tray of ice cubes in it and fill it up with cold water in the morning. I've got cold little drinks of cold water out of that all day long. And at night it's still cold when I'm back home. I was sipping on that. And then I remembered. I remembered when I was the worship leader for a Native American community in Fargo. We'd worship, I think, at 2 in the afternoon. I was with them a couple of years. It was wonderful. It was an interesting congregation. Some of them were just out of jail, sort of a transition place. People in the nearby treatment center would come. People that were in Fargo trying to get an apartment and jobs and getting life going again. Some lived there. It was a very transient sort of group. They were there because they wanted to worship, because they wanted to pray together. It was good. One of our regular people was late that day. It was a hot summer day. He had an apartment on the north side. He was trying to raise his kids and keep them stable. And he was walking down there that morning. He came in and he set his thermos down on the table. He said, "Pastor, does this ever happen to you?" He said, "I'm walking down the street with my thermos of cold water and I get stopped by the law. And they say, 'What's in that thermos?' He says, 'Water.' And they said, 'Prove it.' He said, 'It's water. Smell it.' He said, 'They smelled it and they dumped it out.' And they said, 'Yeah, I guess it's water.' I said, 'No, I can walk around with a thermos all day long and that's not going to happen to me.'" Little confrontation to my soul, a little daily bread that I didn't want but needed. Could be me. It could be me. Daily bread. I head out on a new venture. I don't even know what I'm going to be doing exactly. I know I've been working and in conversation with some people for a few years about finding ways to support congregations that many of them have had good century and a half or more of ministry in their communities, but the communities aren't the same. People don't go to the church for the same reasons. People don't stay around. They travel more. They'll drive 40 miles into the big city to go to church, things like that, and they struggle. And as they struggle, they start to blame themselves. We must be doing something wrong. They start to blame their pastors, because it used to work so well back when Pastor Johnson was here. The thing of it is there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. A lot of resources go into those congregations not providing support. So I'm hoping with some people I've been working with to develop models for maybe a synod committee that can walk with these congregations, people that are familiar with the conversation, some that have been through it, to provide support and conversation and direction, maybe from more than one at the same time so churches can talk together who've experienced the same thing. Maybe they found little bits of stuff that kind of works that they could work together on, a little bit of common wisdom. Maybe it would be a little easier then when it comes time for one of them to say, "You know, we could probably do better what we do if you and you and you, if we all shared a building instead of trying to keep three buildings from falling down." That's a hard one. But there needs to be support there. I hope to be doing some of that. My daily bread in terms of keeping groceries on the table will probably come from congregations that are in transition, either regular interim times or congregations that are in a particular challenging spot. That's what it appears to be anyway. New venture, a little scary, kind of exciting. New venture for you here too. Looking at yourselves critically and saying, how are we different than we were 3 or 4 years ago, the last time we did a ministry site profile? What do we look like? What do we need? Where is our focus? All of those questions. I'm excited for you in that process. I think it will be fun. I think it will be good. I hope so anyway. We are vulnerable together still. And it's a compelling vulnerability. We have to walk into this unknown. But we know God is there. We know God is there, providing our daily bread, the blessings we need, the blessings we probably need but really don't go out and looking for, but they make us who we are and get our roots down well. A few weeks ago, I told you about being in England for a conference on women and ordination, an international conference. One night, I was a little late getting to supper, and it was just me and one other person. Everybody else was in the next meeting. I sat down and visited with this woman. She was the presenter the next morning, one of the keynote presenters. And I had such a wonderful visit with her over soup at supper. It was so good to hear English spoken the way we speak it in America. It's nice to have another American there, because I'd been listening to all sorts of, sorry, Rachel, but in Great Britain, they don't speak English right. And people, English from all sorts of different places in the world. I had a wonderful conversation, went to the next morning, and lo and behold, she was British. I thought, how did I not hear that accent last night when we talked? So at lunch that day, we sat down, and I said, I assumed you were American last night. I realize you're British. I'm a little embarrassed, but thank you. And she laughed. She said, I'm French. I said, you don't sound French. She said, my language training was not just vocabulary and grammar in other languages, but also mannerisms, tone of voice, accent. She said, it's part of what I've been working on as she'd been in school a long time and now was teaching at one of the universities in Paris. She said, part of what my program expects is that you're heard better with people when they can understand you, when you sound right to them. She said, so I worked very hard on that. And then, I don't know, that was 15, 18 years ago, no reason to keep in touch, never have, ran across, I was looking for something at university the other day, and I found the presentation that she had done with a group of people that were trying to figure out how to walk the same way, being very different. She still does that kind of work. The tail end of it is a little story, and we're gonna play that here in a minute. And I promise she's French. She doesn't sound French in this one either. Her name is Eglantine Jamet. So we'll watch that now.
To conclude this presentation, we would like to tell you a story that can make us think about our conscious and unconscious stereotypes. A white woman has just finished her shopping and decides to have lunch at the mall's cafeteria. She gets a bowl of soup and carries her tray to one of the tables. Once seated, she realizes that she forgot to take a spoon. So she goes back to the counter, takes a spoon, goes back to her table. As she's coming back to her table, she sees that a black man is sitting there eating her soup. How rude, she thinks. How outrageous. She sits down opposite him, pulls the tray towards her, and starts eating her soup. The black guy pulls the tray back towards him, leaves it in the middle, and eats in turn. The woman is unsettled, but also fascinated by the kind look and the smile of the man who's facing her. She does not know what to do. She does not know how to react. So she carries on eating from the bowl in turn. When they're finished, the man stands up, shows her not to leave, and goes to the counter. He comes back with a huge portion of French fries that he puts in the middle of the table, and he invites her to have some. She starts eating, and together, they eat a portion of French fries. Once they're finished, he gets up and bows to say goodbye, looks her in the eye, and adds, he's gone. She's still puzzled by what has just happened. She's thinking about leaving as well and turns to get her bag on the back of her chair, but the bag is gone. So that was it, she thinks. That black guy was just a thief. She's about to ask for help when she spots her bag on the back of a chair at a nearby table. On that table is a bowl of cold soup, and on the tray, the spoon is missing. Thank you all for your attention.
Okay. You remember the commercial a few years back? Some of you might, where the, I don't even remember what it was about, but someone goes, "Is it soup yet? Is it soup yet?" Daily bread is our soup. We need a little bread to go with it to help it go down. We are led into the world. We are always confronted and challenged by assumptions and fears and the unknown. But we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we join in the hymn.
Treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. Merciful God, you know your church. Guard and keep the whole body of Christ. Increase in us strength, love, and peace, so that we are a blessing to the world. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Creator, you know the work of your hands. Guard and keep your creation. Bless the work of those who tend the earth's resources and who seek to provide abundantly for all. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful King, you know the nations, and you are the head of every ruler and authority. Guard and keep the world in justice and mercy. And let the words of your mouth bring peace on earth, your kingdom come. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you know our congregation. Guard and keep those who enrich us with the gift of music in this place, proclaiming the gospel in song. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you know our congregation. Guard and keep those who are hungry, those who are victims of violence or oppression, and those who are weary from illness. Give us today our daily bread. We pray especially for those that we name before you, with our hearts and with our voices. For these and all the prayers of our hearts, Lord, in your mercy. All these things and more we ask in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We take a few moments and greet one another as God's people. God's peace.
Peace be with you.
I invite you to stand as you are able as we join together in the offertory prayer printed in the bulletin. We join in prayer. God of glory, receive these gifts and the offering of our lives. As Jesus was lifted up from the earth, draw us to your heart in the midst of this world, that all creation may be brought from bondage to freedom, from darkness to light, and from death to life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth out of chaos. You encircled the globe with air. You created fire for warmth and light. You nourished the land with water. You molded us in your image and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the sea. You blessed and cherished your chosen people so that we also, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit. You called us through the life and death of Jesus. We remember our Lord Jesus at table with his disciples the night he would be betrayed. He took the bread. He spoke the blessing. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this and know that I am always with you." And again at table, he took the cup. He spoke the blessing and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this and know that I am with you." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your Messiah, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others, his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sin and sorrow will be no more. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Please be seated. The table is set and the meal is prepared. Communion is served by intinction. Receive the bread, dip it into the cup. The darker liquid is wine, and the cup with the lighter liquid is grape juice. There is gluten-free wafers available as well. Just let me know. All is ready. All are welcome. Come to the feast of Christ. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in our faith. Hold us in grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Announcements.
most of you know that I've been collecting some donations for homeless people, and I just want to read this verse from the song. It says, grow in love by serving joyful and free. And this verse, I don't know, it just really touched me, it spoke to me, and it just made me realize that's exactly what you guys are doing by donating those clothes. Also, I got some letters from some of the people that have been receiving clothes. Of course, a lot of people said thank you to me and to you guys in person. But some of them says, thank you for your kindness. You give me hope. And then the other one says, I apologize if the handwriting is not the best, but so bear with me. It says, thank you all. These donated items have met my needs and others' needs. My entire week is changed. I trust Jesus. Signed by Jim. And then the other one says, thank you for donating the clothes for all of us that's helping us for homeless people. Thank you again to God and to you and your family for donating to us. God bless you and your family and your relatives. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you to you all. So I just wanted to share this with you guys and just how grateful they are. I'm super grateful too. So yeah, keep on donating. One thing I forgot to mention today for the first service is that I might not be coming here every Sunday due to my busy schedule, but my beautiful mother agreed to pick up the items, and she'll be taking them home, and I'll find a day throughout the week, and I'll just pick them up and take them. So thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Good.
Yeah, very good. So a couple things here. First is we have an audit committee that's doing an internal audit of us, which I'm actually really excited about. It might sound like it's actually a really good thing. Subhash over there, he's on it, and then Reynold Rader, they're on it. One of the requests that they may reach out to you to verify your 2018 donations, so just be aware of that. That could be coming through either Subhash or Reynold. And the other thing is our call to you guys to be on our call committee for our next pastor. And so I'm inviting you, if you'd like to be on our next call committee, throw your name in the hat. Talk to Diane or myself or anybody else on council. At our next council meeting, we're hopefully going to be appointing a call committee. And so that's going to be six people on the six voting members of a call committee, and then we'll have some alternates probably we'll pick up as well. So think about it, pray about it, and let us know if you'd like to be considered for that. So again, thank you for your consideration. And then last thing, obviously, is Pastor Dan's last Sunday with us. So we're really sad to see you go, Pastor, but we know you're going to have some fun and hopefully good adventures ahead. So thank you. Thanks for your service. You've been awesome. So.
Anything else?
There's cards for Pastor Dan in the back.
Yeah.
And there's also a card for Barbara Kincaid. When Barbara's here at second service, she always sits in this chair. She had a bad fall and broke her pelvis, and she's in Hillsborough Avamere, and will probably be released later at the end of this coming week. And she also has to move to a ground level apartment. Right now, she has to navigate 19 stairs. So keep her in your prayers, and maybe Tammy could send out her address. But if you sent a card to Avamere, I know that she would get it. There's a card you can sign here if you'd like to. I think there's two different cards. Thanks.
And now, may the God who surrounds us, the God who walks with us, the God who blows through us, drawing us together, the God who sends us out into the world, go with us. Guide our paths, give us life, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn.
Oh, yes. So it looks like in the bulletin, the refrain appears to be missing. So we've